All right, Christmas and New Year's both following on one of our episode release days. What are the odds? Well, I guess it had to happen at some point. Anyways, we are releasing the third part in our Chooseify 2020 Win series, and we've kind of aggregated these clips together for you in a way that I think, you know, tells a pretty compelling story just about the benefits of being on this path and being a part of this community. And as you might have gleaned, these are not all financial wins. These are people that have made small actions and as a result have reclaimed not just decades of their life, but even in the now, they've reclaimed bandwidth, they've reclaimed margin, and they've been able to reprioritize their time and their actions around things that actually light them up. Vicki Robin in her book, Your Money or Your Life, famously says, are you making a living or are you making a dying? If you have an extraterrestrial watching you from outer space and they were to see your actions, would it look like you're building an amazing life or would it look like you're just a cog stuck in a very depressing wheel? It could be either. It could be both, but what are we working towards? And just having that wake-up call is a big part of this. These people had that wake-up call, and they're sharing it with us, and they're sharing it with you on this episode. Welcome to the Ultimate Crowdsourced Personal Finance Show. This is ChooseFI.
You're listening to ChooseFI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
All right, Brad, our New Year's episode, man, 2020. Is it behind us yet? Like, can we say 20?
Oh, put it in the rearview mirror. It is gone. Let's hope for a much, much better 2021, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think an encouraging episode like this is exactly what we need to hear, that we do have some agency in this. You know, we can't control everything, but there are things that all of us can control that we probably haven't considered. And hopefully this episode and the prior two episodes will give you a couple ideas about maybe what is the one thing. You don't have to do everything, but if you feel stuck, you're going to have to do something different to get a different result. Hopefully these ideas give you a little inspiration and maybe spark a little bit of imagination about what might be possible, even in a relatively short period of time. So with that, let's kick this thing off. Cue the transition music. You know, I couldn't find the sound effects, so that's just me doing it for you guys. Not too bad.
That's pretty good, John.
Yeah, you know. I'm working on it. All right, here we go.
All right, so part three of our end of year wins episode. Obviously, the astute listener would say this is not the end of the year. This is the beginning of the year. But yeah, we thought this would be the perfect way to kick off 2021 with a little bit of intentionality, right? So make these changes, feel emboldened to just live a little bit better, right? That 1% better we're always talking about. So yeah, Jonathan, this is cool. Let's rock and roll.
Sarah, you are on.
Hey, Sarah, how's it going?
Hi, it's going well.
Oh, you're loud
and clear.
Welcome
to the show. Can
you hear us?
Excellent. I can hear you. I don't see Jonathan, but I can see you.
You don't? Oh, that's weird. Interesting. All right. Well, I'm here, and I'm excited to see you.
Nice. Welcome. Are you in a...
Yeah, there were layers to that joke. And
that
I'm,
was
I'm
so on, awesome. Thank you, Sarah.
The floor is yours.
I can say more words. So it looks like, are you in a classroom?
I am. I teach high school science, and I'm in my classroom.
Are those postcards back there? What are we
yeah. Yes. Postcards that people have sent me or I have collected on travels.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Is travel a big part of your life?
Prior to this year, yes.
Of course. Gotcha. Well, welcome. So tell us about this year. Obviously, this has been an unusual year, but we'd love to hear about it.
It has. I'm a school teacher. This is my 14th year teaching, and it's been pretty tough for the kids and the families and the teachers also having to roll with going remote in March and basically not coming back until August. Our community was lucky, I suppose. We chose to go back face to face, and some of the children and their families chose to learn remotely, but a majority of them at my school are face to face.
Okay.
we've been back and forth several times this semester.
So this has been a challenging year by any standard.
I mean, it's been a tough year and lots of struggles and just rolling with it.
Yeah.
Our family had some stressors in it, and my husband changed positions mid-year, but my kids have been great. We have a 3 and a 6-year-old, and they're learning how to swim this year, and they've really enjoyed brother-sister time on and off between bickering. So that's been really great. They've had a lot of sibling time together this year.
Yeah, it's funny. I've talked to Jonathan about this, but I think to a large degree, my kids are going to look back on this year as the best year of their childhood. I mean, it's so much family time. It's so much sibling time. I mean, they play, you know, they're 9 and 12, but yet they play Legos 4 hours a day at this point, and like have these fantastic worlds built up. It's just, it's the coolest thing to see them come together. And it sounds like your kids are doing that as well.
Yeah. My son the other day told me that he missed his sister because when he's talking to me or his dad, we don't get to talk about random stuff. But when he's with his sister, they just talk about anything.
Aww.
That was interesting.
That's really cute. So tell us about your Phi journey. Where are you? What moves have you made this year?
So for this year, I started listening to you guys in December of 2018. For about 2 weeks, I was incessantly listening to you guys, and I caught up halfway to however many episodes you guys had at that point. And it was like a fire was lit in me. It's like I had been trying to find you guys for 2 decades, you know, or this information, and somehow just even the episode you guys just recorded or posted telling people how to start an investment account, which actually isn't that hard. I was like stuck at that point for 15, 18 years, you know, just not knowing that I could do it on my own. So after listening to you in December, I opened a Vanguard account in January of 2019 and just dumped all this money that I had been saving into it. And this is the first year that I was able to start putting money into 457 and into our Roths. So we maxed our Roths. I'm on target to max our 457. And I decided to try to put some money into the 403B and see how much I could make it hurt a little bit.
Wow.
And so I got a check of $200 at my last paycheck. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Getting close.
Oh, the millionaire educator would be proud. That's incredible.
He would. I'm going to send him this clip just so he can reach out to you.
And recently, actually, last week, we were able to pay our last payment on our mortgage.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it's been 11 years and our home is fully paid for. And at least for the moment, we're officially debt free.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You guys are crushing it.
That is incredible. That is truly, truly incredible. Congratulations. That's an amazing year. And yeah, thank you for all you're doing. We had so many people chime in to say thank you for being a teacher. Thank you to all the teachers out there. Obviously, this has been a difficult year, to put it mildly. But I know the teachers in my school, they're just, the amount of care and effort they put in, it's remarkable what they're doing for the kids. And yeah, just a huge heartfelt congrats and thank you, obviously, that's what I mean, to all the teachers and you specifically. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
All right, well, thank you again, Sarah. Have a good night. Thanks for being here.
She is absolutely crushing it. Can you imagine what that means? I mean, to be able to start tackling this idea of a trifecta, to realize that you have access to more than one savings vehicle, to be able to like start attempting to max out a 457, a 403B, and the Roth, to do that in the context of now having your mortgage paid off, like the confidence that gives you, the options that it provides for you. It's so cool to see teachers just absolutely crushing it. And I hope we'll be able to continue to highlight more and more of them, because that's power, and it's powerful to see.
Yeah, I'd like to take some time to give MK a shout out. She's on. She's on.
Yeah. Hi, MK. Now, MK is taking a small leave of absence with us recently. Hasn't been joining us on the Friday roundups lately because MK just welcomed a new human being into the universe, brand new mom. And
I think it's technically called a tax deduction. That's what she calls it.
That's on their spreadsheets. In real life, we call it parenthood.
Yeah. Huge congrats to MK and Jason. That's really wonderful. And yeah, she has a comment here about her business growing. So yeah, MK, thanks for being here. Thanks for being on. And we can't wait to have you back on the show.
Let me add one more comment about MK real quick, just to celebrate her wins. When she talks about more books and passive income, MK is a talent stacker to the nth degree. So someone that just crushed it in corporate America, her and her husband lived the FI life. They found early retirement extreme very early on. They saved a crazy percentage of their income, basically helping them reach FI in their late 20s, early 30s. MK then immediately moved away from corporate America and picked up her quote unquote dream job working with us here at Choose FI just on the side. And then on top of that, her passion is writing, and she started building out a catalog of books serving the science fiction space, as well as the now how to be an author space, so the nonfiction space, and a little bit of a hybrid where she was able to weave a fiction book plus some FI concepts. So she has, honestly, I think probably four or five books in her series, and she keeps writing, and each one keeps doing better and better. And she is just, if you have ever wanted to know how to self-publish or how to become a writer or anything like that, she has a YouTube channel, which we'll have linked up, or I'm sure she can put in the comments, but she is just a talent stacker like no one I've ever met. And so definitely someone to include in your zone of awareness. MK, congratulations.
Hey, this is Andrew from the Choose FI team. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're going to get right back to it after these quick messages.
Moving on, Ed, what do you got for us?
Yeah, up next we got Whitney. So Whitney, you are on.
Hi, Whitney. Thanks for your patience and for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Well, catch us up. Tell us a little bit about your year.
Yeah, so my year started out pretty good financially. It was probably going to be a pretty stressful year, and it was to some degree. You know, we had some job uncertainty, both with me and my husband. Luckily, none of that panned out. We're still gainfully employed, but we had some pretty good financial wins, but also some non-financial wins, which I think I'm more excited about than anything. But to just kind of kick off the year, you know, I had already been listening to your podcast and The Mad Scientist and kind of absorbing anything I could learn about this. And I'd always told my husband, once we have time, we'll learn about this finance stuff and get rid of our financial planner. And that's what happened. So we let go of our financial planner, who actually in hindsight had actually set us up pretty well. You know, he had moved us from contributing to after-tax accounts to pre-tax accounts. Anything we could do to reduce our taxable liability, he let us do. You know, he set us up with some term life insurance. It was really good. So, you know, not all financial planners are bad. We were just kind of ready to fly on our own at that point.
Nice. No, and that's a critical, critical point there. And I hope everybody who listens to us understands that we're not anti-financial planners or think they're bad people or only looking out for themselves by any means. There are many, many financial planners who are serving their clients extremely well. Yeah. It's obviously, it's the fees. That's where it gets you. There are many fee-only financial planners, which is dramatically better than assets under management. So yeah, Whitney, I'm glad you made that clarification.
Yeah.
And assets under management, I just would like my financial planner to be very upfront with me about how much they're going to cost me at every level now and in the future, how that is they're getting paid and what I'm going to be receiving for that. I mean, that's just kind of the table stake. So it's not even to say, like, I know, for instance, Paul Merriman had an assets under management model that he offered. And there's a few individuals, even our community, that do that. And Rick Ferry is another one that, so it's not even like a absolute, I would never consider. It's just to your point, Whitney, and it's very astute, very well made. Really simple is better 90% of the times. And if you're ready to fly and do it on your own, because you understand what your goals are and how to get there, you know, then you may not need one. Not everybody needs a financial planner. It's just most people would be better served. Actually, everyone would be better served just to do a little bit of research and understand it. And those that have an interest in just handling it themselves likely can. It's never been easier.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I told him we actually appreciated all he did for us and would recommend him to people who don't want to do it themselves. But that happened like right before COVID happened. So we hadn't really done anything with, you know, any of the investments he had us in, and he had us at Charles Schwab. So I was in there rooting around our accounts and did some tax loss harvesting to get us out of some of the actively managed funds that they had us in. It really wasn't that much, but it was really just a good way for me to get out of those and into something more index fund, low fee.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's go a little bit farther there, because that's something that I think that's kind of scary. It feels a little advanced. It does feel like someone that you need a person to actually do for you. What made you feel confident that you could do this yourself?
Well, I did my reading and research. Any blogs out there who had written about it outlined exactly what you do. And I also, my father's also pretty savvy with finances. So threw out ideas with him and he kind of talked through it with me. So it's like, it wasn't just me doing it on my own. I had a lot of support.
So Whitney, you said a couple of minutes ago that, you know, obviously you've had some financial successes, but that maybe the non-financial were more impactful. Are any that jumped to mind?
Yeah. So it kind of goes back to my why of FI, really. I really started getting into this because I had an unfortunate issue with a supervisor in my last role at my job. And it really led me down this path of like, how can I not work if I don't want to? And so I could never get to where I knew what I was going to do if I retired because I was so busy working. I had a commute that was like an hour and a half long. I've got a 3-year-old. Like, there's just no extra time. But COVID happened and now we're working from home. I've got oodles of time to just figure out what I want to do, like hobbies I have. I've managed to take control of some foot pain that's been pretty debilitating for the last 8 years. And now I'm pretty much free of pain. And that's allowed me to do more activities with my son, with my health, and just wanting to do, you know, hobbies. So that's just been fantastic. Like it's opened up a whole new world. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if COVID hadn't happened and taken advantage of the extra time. But also like listening to you guys talk nearly every week about getting that 1% better. It wasn't easy, but you just, like you said, you just take the little actions and you figure it out.
That is amazing. Yeah, it's not easy and it's not supposed to be easy. That's such an important part of this is, I mean, it's difficult to make the changes that we're making, even when they are just those 1%. Like it's so much easier, like Jonathan and I say, like it's so much easier to just sit on the couch and for me, eat Doritos all day. Like, I mean, that's my default state, but you have to get up off the couch and you have to take action to make your life better. And like you said, it's a positive feedback loop, right? Like you've found hobbies that you like, your foot pain isn't there. So you can do more things. Like it just makes it easier and easier, right? Like as you take those actions, you realize, oh, wow, this works. This keeps on working and it gets easier and easier. So, I mean, it is truly those first couple steps that are the difficult ones.
That's right. Yeah. And so eventually, hopefully in the next couple of years, at least I will be able to retire from my job and be able to do whatever I want without having to worry about, can I actually like take that hike with my son or anything like that.
So you've mapped this out and you're just a few years out now. Is that accurate?
Yep.
Congratulations.
If we keep working together and maxing out everything we can, probably 3 to 4 years. If I leave my job in the next couple of years, it'll be about 8 or 9 more, but.
Working together. I mean, when, at what point did you realize that's really what's happening here? We're doing this as a team.
Late last year when I started listening to you guys. Yeah.
Congratulations, Whitney. That's amazing.
Whitney, that's remarkable. Seriously. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being part of the community. Thanks for sharing it with everyone. And yeah, here's to a great 2021.
Thank you.
All right, Carlos.
All right. Can you guys hear me now?
I'm hopping off.
All right, Carlos, catch us up, man. What's going on in your year?
Yeah, it's been a really interesting year with everything that's going on out there. And my wife and I, we've been partially locked up at home. Not locked up, I would say, but kind of staying at home since March. So it's been about, 9 months now? Yeah, and the other day we were just talking about the year. And then we look back and it's like, hey, wait a minute. It looks like it was a good year, actually. We've accomplished a lot of things. First of all, we don't know any close friends that got any health issues, financial issues. So that was a big, big win for us. It was great. And we're also pregnant again. Like my wife got pregnant again of a baby girl. So that's our second child. And it happened in July. I got the news. It was working and I got the news in July. If you guys remember, it's like in the midst of the worst of the pandemic. Well, before now, like back then. So yeah, it was a great news on a kind of bad time. So it's been good. On the financial side, my wife became a photographer, so I helped her out to set up her business back a few months ago. Yeah, I got a camera for her first baby back in 2018, and with time, she got used to it. She liked the camera, and then it's like, well, let's take some classes here and there, and then she became good at it. Hmm. And we decided to go out there and make that a business.
That's really cool. So hold on, let me interrupt here, Carlos. So, I mean, that's the talent stack that we're always talking about, Jonathan specifically. And so your wife just had a passion and she decided to take classes. At what point do you realize, like, okay, maybe there's a business here, as opposed to like the imposter syndrome of, wow, there are so many professional photographers, I could never be that. Like, how did she decide, wow, this is something I can do and I can charge for?
There's a good photographer community in here in Arizona. And there's one couple that are really good and they do online courses. And she took this course just to learn a little bit more, to take better pictures. And then she started looking at her pictures and like, oh, those look pretty good, actually. And comparing to professionals out there, she's like, oh, we might be onto something here. And then she decided to start taking some free pictures for close friends and then start expanding. And next thing we know, we're setting up an LLC, buying insurances, licenses, and just start charging people and making waves in the community. So it's been good.
So this is an incredible talent stack. This is absolutely replicable for many people. And there's actually a couple things that I want to point out that I've noticed in my own desire when I want to tackle a new skill. I just want to point out to people what I observe. So one is interest. What are you interested in? Two, where's the community? Is there a community that you could get hooked into to see, you know, what's moving, whether it's a local organization? These could be in online Facebook groups. They could be somewhere else, but it's like get hooked into the community so you find out what's going on in the space that you're interested in. Three, let's get some training. You know, we kind of like do a lot talking about the ridiculous cost of college or getting a college degree at any cost, but it's because we're cynical about the ROI a little bit. College is generally good, but it's probably, you know, if you're just getting a generic degree, is it worth six figures student loan debt? I would say no. No, 90% of the time, it's not worth six figures of student loan debt. But targeted skills for a cost, that makes sense almost every single time. I pay for courses all the time because I want to get better at something. And then what's next? All right, well, then you need to do it. Do you have to do it for free? That's fine. You're building your skill set. You know, that's fine. Right. Do a great job. It's the ultimate testimonial. Then you'll have people that are now referring you. And now that's kind of where she's at now. Now she's able to charge for service. But then now, you said, we've gone through the business structure. We got the LLC, small step for this week. We got the insurance. But now you're opening up a whole nother level to this game, which is fun, which is like marketing. All right, you can do it. How do you let people know that you can do XYZ? Does it look like a website? Does it look like Facebook marketing? Does it look like a portfolio page? Does it look like, you know, what are the different ways that you then increase awareness about what you're doing? And that's really fun as well. So switch out the idea for anything, but it starts with like interest-led learning. And if you say you have no time because you're just watching, you know, Netflix for 4 hours a day, maybe it's time to take some of the consumption and move it to creation. And that's what I love. You guys took this, you know, life got flipped on its head. Let's reclaim some of that bandwidth and put it into adding to our talent stack and building out new lines of revenue. And let me just point out, you did this during a pandemic. You know, a lot of photographers would say, oh, pandemic, you know, I don't know if this is going to work for us. It sounds like you're saying that this has been incredibly successful even during a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. We had to hit pause for a few weeks because the Arizona mandate, so we couldn't actually meet with clients or go out much, but it lasts about a month maybe, and then we were back on track, and it's been great, and we'll see what 2021 have for us on that part of our story.
Nice. Awesome.
This is a lot of fun, man. So, I mean, you guys have taken some massive action during a challenging year. How are you going to build on this? Where do you see, you know, yourself going into 2021 and beyond? What's next?
So that's my wife's business. So I just help her set it up. I'm a software engineer by trade. So I set up this website. So we designed a website together. It's up and running, all that. And she'll take that and run with it next year. And for me, another thing that I kind of finally took the leap this year was on a blog of my own. So I'm an immigrant. I came from Brazil back in 2012. And I had my fair share of problems with the IRS, and it's complicated for immigrants. So I always had this in the back of my mind to start a blog and just talk about my experience, what I've been through, things that I learned, and try to prevent people from doing what I've done and make the same mistakes. So I finally took the first step, and then I'm building a blog. So I got it out of the paper. It's not live yet, but the website is up and running. Most pages are good to go, and I'm writing the first article actually as we speak. So might be launching in the next couple of weeks.
Nice.
So well, do you have a domain name picked out? Give our audience a sense for...
Yeah. It's an interesting... I never told anyone about this name, but it's called Alien Moolah.
And yeah, you already reserved it before we share this. Have you already reserved the domain?
It's all taken care of.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a combination of alien. That's how they call us, immigrants, and mullah is just a different name for money. It's kind of like an interesting name for a pretty serious topic.
That's cool, though, man. To each of you to start your own business or, you know, passion project in the same year. I mean, that's neat. And who knows where they'll take you? You know, that's what's really cool. And if nothing else, you know, you're helping people. I think that's really why you're starting that.
Yeah, so, true. Yeah, that's always the goal, to just help people. And if it becomes something, great. If not, if I wrote on my about page, if I help one person, I consider that a success already. Nice. So.
Oh, that's cool.
That's the goal.
That is really cool. Awesome. Well, yeah, we will certainly definitely send me an email when you've got that first post live. So that's
really cool. We'll do.
All right, Carlos, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, up next. I'm hoping not to butcher this.
No, I got this one. I got this one, Ed. I got it.
All right.
Sitlali and Jose. I did much better that time, didn't I? I can see.
Yep. All right. You guys are on.
Let's do it. Thanks, Ed.
And you got it.
I did a pretty good job, right?
No, it was perfect. That's
wonderful. Thank you both for being here. Thanks for being so patient. I know this is obviously it's gone on a little longer than we anticipated, but thank you for hanging in.
No worries.
Who would have bet on that?
Yeah. Who would have bet on that? Every single person here. All right. So yeah, tell us about what's been going on in your lives this year.
Like everyone, this year has been interesting with the pandemic. And I think we got a lot of good things settled on the past 3 years. And this year has been about adapting and living in this new world, but keeping all the good habits in and trying to figure out better ways to get value from what we spend. Yeah.
So 3 years, you said. So what's what is the significance of 3 years? Is that when you found the FI community? Is that, talk us through what that is?
Yeah, we moved to California and discovered huge rent prices. So that bring into focus the need for a budget and try to figure out how we're going to manage the cash flows. We were on one income at that moment and just looking around for ways to hack the housing situation. I found Mr. Money Mustache, the simple math behind early retirement. And I said, oh, that's possible. And from there, I started reading that. And then the mighty algorithm told me, hey, you might enjoy this podcast. It's just five guys have six episodes now. And that's when
did you find us when we only had six episodes?
Yeah. But it was the episodes that I needed at that moment in my life. You motivated me to propose that we start doing weekly meal preps. And that was the first thing we got down, and we've been trying new stuff.
That word propose there. So Sitlali, what when Jose comes to you and says, hey, I found Mr. Money Mustache and I found this random podcast. Like what are your thoughts? Like, how did he present that?
I don't remember exactly, but it was like, okay, I was receptive. I was open. I took it with some precaution, but I was open, as Jose said, we were in one income in California, so it was a little bit tight. So I was open definitely for more creative ideas on how to get better at money.
What a great
I mean, so there's some obstacles there. You're moving to a high cost of living area. You're doing this on one income and you have to figure out the housing situation, which is the housing and the taxes, which are two big things to figure out. And you're trying to figure out how to extract maximum value from the spending. Let me just ask you this. Over the last 3 years, has most of the emphasis been on the spending side of the equation, or has there been some emphasis on the income? Like, kind of how have you guys layered this strategy together over the last couple of years?
Both. We've tried everything. We tried house hacking. Didn't work for us. So we ended up just renting a small apartment, like the smallest apartment where we can be happy. I think that's the strategy that worked best for us. Sitlali finished an online degree with Udacity and then started working from home at Udacity. And now she's working on autonomous vehicles.
Oh, wow.
Yes, since we moved to California, I got a job over there. And then we decided to move to Texas, from California to Texas. And I kept working remotely. And then I finished that work and I started working at a physical company here in Texas in autonomous driving. And so there was also some, now we have two incomes and cheaper living expenses because Texas is a lot.
Just a little less expensive. Eh?
Yeah, exactly. So
Can I ask you a question about that Udacity degree that you just got? How much? What was the cost and the amount of time commitment to get trained to a place where you could get a job working in autonomous vehicles?
Well, I was already an engineer from Mexico. So half of the course was paid by a company in Mexico, and the second half was paid by us. In total was $1,600, I believe. Yeah, $1,600 for a year of training. And I was a full-time student at Udacity. And then I got a job at Udacity, and after that, I got a job at another company.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's
very, very cool. So let's see. So over the last year, I mean, if you guys were to kind of, you know, put down some distinct wins for this year specifically, a very challenging year, you moved to Texas, which is going to decrease your cost of living. You've landed a job that's working in autonomous vehicles. Any other milestones or metrics that you want to share with the community that you feel like you've hit this year?
Yeah, it also comes back to the aggregation of marginal gains. And since we've been doing meal preps now with the pandemic, we put even more emphasis on the planning side and the execution of that. And I checked our spending on personal capital, and we are spending 20% less than last year on meals. And that also, it's not about just the money. It's also about the time. So it gives us a lot of freedom Monday to Friday to concentrate on work or anything that comes up in our personal lives. So we just solve the food situation on Sunday, and then everything else is
solved. So yeah, solved weekly, for the week. One day a week, you and Jose, that's what you commit. One day a week, all the meals are mapped out for the entire week. How much time do you guys spend on that one day of a week putting all this together? Is it the whole day's gone, or like, give us a sense for what you do?
It's half day. It's usually 1 hour in the grocery shop, and then 3 to 4 hours cooking
depending and packing everything.
Depending on how complicated we decided to try something, or if it's something new. It's
so 4 hours for an entire week. That's nothing. You think about, I always think about how people scramble at the last minute. Right. And it's, oh, we'll just grab fast food. Right. I'm taking the health side away, which is, you know, hard to do, admittedly. But I mean, it's going to be a half hour, right? Easily to run out to the store, wait and drive back. Like, and that's quote unquote convenient, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to planning ahead. And I love that word that you used before, creative. We came up with creative solutions. And I'd love to hear, were there any other things that would fit that bill of creative that jump out to you just off the top of your head? I know that's a bit on the spot, but anything jump out to you?
We tried house hacking. I've been cutting my hair for 3 years now.
You have a great haircut and you have a great head.
That is a fantastic.
Just all the way around.
I cannot turn back because then you realize it's not so good.
I can't read back there.
Nobody has noticed.
We work from home.
Exactly. We don't see people. So
it's a Zoom haircut. It's a Zoom.
There was a shortage of toilet paper. We got a bidet. So yeah.
There we go. There we go. This episode brought to you by Zach's company.
Oh my God.
Very cool.
Since we have been also driving a lot less because we're working from home since March, we decided to drop some of the coverage on the car insurance. So we no longer have collision because we're driving very little. So we think that since we have a good emergency fund, it's something we can do. So car insurance went down by half. We've been also using the library for a lot of entertainment, and we don't have Netflix, and we have Amazon Prime just a few months of the year.
Okay. So the library, hold on, let's stop there. You know, choose the five friends of the library, as we always like to say. It's funny because actually in my Phi Weekly post, I think today, my email that I send out, I mentioned someone wrote in about the library. And, you know, obviously we know we can get books there, but and you can get movies. I think most people are aware of that. Most libraries offer movies, but there are so many other things that libraries offer for free. Like, I mean, I know museum passes I've seen, like there are all sorts of wacky, wacky things. Like, do you guys use it for primarily for movies and books? Is that, or have you delved out into the creativity of the library?
We also do audiobooks. Yeah, in California, we definitely use some of the passes for museums. They have discounts.
Yeah, they include Linda, and I think you took
Linda,
some courses.
Yeah,
as well.
Linda for LinkedIn. So you have access to all the courses that Linda offers. Yes,
I've heard of that, Linda. Yeah, I've never used it, but oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's amazing. Like, that's one little tip for everybody out there. It's like, the next time you're able to go to your library, if it happens to be open right now, like, go up to the librarian and just ask them, like, what interesting things do you have available that, like, nobody ever takes out, but you wish that they would? There's so many resources available. So yeah, that's really, really cool. Thanks for
really ebooks in a pandemic. It's just
It has been really good.
Oh yeah. It's so easy to download. Yeah. This is my first year with a Kindle. So believe me, I feel you on that. So anything else jump to mind?
I think that the fact that we solved the meal plans on Sunday allows us to concentrate on work, and Citlali has a big win this year, actually.
And on my performance review for this year, I also got a promotion or an increase in salary of 50%. So
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. It has helped to make that gap better.
Yeah, that'll widen the gap just a little bit. That's a little bit. Good for you. Oh, man. That's
Talking about enjoying the benefits of FI even before you get to FI, the pandemic didn't hit us too hard. We still have two jobs. We're working from home. Our situation didn't change too much. There was some anxiety there, but our families back in Mexico got hit really hard. My mom lost her ability to work, so she's relying just on a small pension from the previous job. And so the fact that we kept our jobs and we have been saving aggressively over these 3 years allowed us to help a lot. So the first thing I proposed is, oh, this is probably going to last for the rest of the year, so let me buy groceries for you. She was just incredibly grateful that I was able to help her. And I think she was surprised that I could offer so much help. Then we started talking about her budget and her money for the first time in my adult life. And turns out she was thinking about getting a loan that was charging 10% interest every month to cover the minimums on some medical debt that she's been carrying over the past 10 years. And so I offered to pay her medical debt, and she kind of couldn't believe it. Like, she was asking, oh, but are you getting in trouble? I don't want you to get a loan to pay for this. And it just all comes from, like, this is going to be the third year that we max out the 401k and just building that emergency fund. And the emergency came in. It didn't hit us directly, but we were able to direct that emergency fund to solve the emergency back home. So.
That is amazing. I mean, truly amazing. That is what FI is all about, is having the flexibility to spend your money as you value, you know, as you see value. And I mean, that, to be able to help like that, that is remarkable. Truly, truly remarkable. Goodness. That it's going to be, hard to top that. So thank you both very much for being here. That's amazing. And congrats for everything. Truly.
Thanks
for the inspiration, and keep up.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
thanks for
putting
taking
it back into the community. You guys have an awesome year.
All right. Up next, we got Shannon. Shannon, you are up.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Shannon.
Hi, Shannon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good.
Well, you've been very patient. We're very excited to talk with you. Tell us a little bit about your year.
My year has been one of adaptation, as I think a lot of them have been for many of us. I work at a college, but I'm not a teacher. But we went to an entirely online system. And when that happened, my responsibilities increased as we transitioned. And my boss, who... I love my boss. He's amazing. He negotiated for me, who I previously was limited. I'm in an interim position. So I was limited on the hours, and he was able to negotiate approval for full time for me.
Nice.
So that was a huge step up. And so that allowed an increase in the gap, which just kind of snowballed. And I was able to pay off my used Econo hatchback that I purchased back in 2019. So that was a 60-month loan that I paid in 16 months.
Nice. What is that, a Honda Fit? I'm just taking a stab.
It's a Nissan Sentra Versa Note something.
But it's paid off.
But yep. It's paid off. Exactly.
That's cool.
Very, very cool. So you're going to trade it in and get another car with payments now that you...
Oh, yeah,
now that you're done?
No.
Maybe you those payments.
No, I plan to drive that thing till it dies.
Love it.
I know the feeling. So, all right. So that's a good start to the year. I see we've been emailing back and forth. I see Warcraft back there. You got any interesting side hustles or new things you want to talk about?
That was the latest venture. About less than a month ago, I launched a potential side hustle that I hope to grow. It's a YouTube channel and now Twitch streaming. So that incorporates World of Warcraft and making cocktails.
Oh, wow. Combinations. Is there a large market for alcohol and Warcraft? Is that
for me, there is.
I will find a like-minded community or die trying.
Exactly.
I have to say, I watched one of the videos and it was really compelling. Like, I've never played World of Warcraft before, but the video was just like super compelling. So well done. I know you said you were a little bit nervous since it was one of your first two videos, but yeah, I mean, if that's your second video, it's onward and upward. Goodness.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely been a steep learning curve and there's a lot of way to go.
Okay, so we'll get to the channel in just a second. I'm sure people will be interested. Let's go through this. So on the front end, we've increased our pay through this year, this crazy year. We've cut our car payment. So that's gone. We are driving a paid off car. Any other consumer debt that's outstanding? Student loans, couch payments, blind payments, anything else? Is that
no other just debt.
A mortgage, rent?
Forget the boat.
No yeah. other debt.
No, I am looking to get a mortgage though, because with that increased gap, I am looking to house hack, which would be my first home purchase. I haven't found anything yet this year though, but hopefully that will be coming soon.
Josh says your energy is showing up. You definitely can rock your YouTube channel. All right. So we've got our car payment, which is the only debt you had, has been paid off. We've increased our income and we're building our talent stack by building this YouTube channel, interest-led learning, building some skills in the background that would be required, whatever we end up doing, be required to build this thing. So you've got a few things in the fire, and then it looks like your next piece that you're looking at is, all right, I've gotten rid of my car payment. How can I get rid of my house payment? How can I, you know, house hack and live for very low cost and no cost? So that is, that's going to be a fun challenge for this next year. And it's one I'm absolutely confident that you could pull off. So you only need to stack a few of these wins together and you just get so many options. I mean, it happens really, really fast. Is that the next big thing for you, is identifying the house hack in 2021?
I think so. Yeah. I've been looking for most of the year actually without much luck, but I've also kind of widened my parameters. And so I'm not very focused right now. I mean, I've considered duplexes, live-in flips, yurts, like modular homes. So right now it's just about finding the right fit.
All right. Yeah, and that's important. I mean, so many people just kind of like jump at things, or, oh, this is so exciting, I'm going to do it. And they, you know, kind of massage the numbers a little bit. So maybe it wasn't as good as I wanted, but I love that you're really applying some scrutiny to it. And to your point, like, sure, there can be many options, but like from a position of strength where you're obviously on the FI path, you're saving money, all these things are going well, like there's no rush, right? Like if you're going to make a major decision, like wait until the right thing comes to you. So, I mean, that certainly appeals to me. I like that. And yeah, so what else is going on? I'm sure you've got a continued laundry list of things. What other changes have you made? Or I guess starting over, like when did you find FI?
Initially, I first found Mr. Money Mustache probably 6 or 7 years ago. But back then I was married and my husband would have been very difficult to persuade into that mentality. And so now I'm divorced and I found Mad Fiantist and subsequently you guys, I want to say a little over a year ago. I think it was fall of 2019. And so I've just been absorbing everything that I can and applying it to the best of my ability. And so at the beginning of this year, I had less than 1 month in emergency savings. And now I have over 7 months in emergency savings.
Good for you.
Wow.
That's incredible. That is really incredible. It's, I mean, in such a short period of time, that's the cool thing. Like, you know, I know we talk about this, we talk about these little changes, but they make a difference, right? Like they make a difference over that short to intermediate term, right? And like, how different is your life when you have that much flexibility, when you have a 7 month emergency fund? That's so, so cool. And Jonathan, I know you said you wanted to talk about the YouTube channel. I don't know if we can.
I just wanted to give her a second. Well, yeah. We've teed people up for it. I mean, there are people that enjoy cocktails and Warcraft, I'm confident, and they might stumble on this. Where would they find this YouTube channel that you're putting together?
They can find it at Tipsy Gaming. That's T-I-P-S-I Gaming at YouTube and Twitch.
All right. Cool. Very, very cool.
That's awesome. And Shannon, maybe I'll see you playing Dominion online at some point. I know that's my favorite game at this point, and you've been playing with your family. So
I have, yeah.
Very cool. Shared interest in board games and Blizzard games as well.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here. And yeah, we'll talk soon.
All right, Ed, he's back. He's back, folks.
Yeah, and we saved the best for last. We've got Rob and Joni to wrap up the night. So, Rob and Joni, you are up.
Hi, guys. We're excited to be here.
Yeah.
Favorite podcast.
Well, we're thrilled that you're on the show. And I'm also noticing here, I feel like I'm seeing, maybe possibly seeing an RV. Are you guys in an RV at the moment?
We are. Yeah, we are in an RV.
Is this RV life? Am I witnessing RV life on the show?
You're witnessing almost RV life. We're in the home docking station at the moment and heading out in January.
All right. Well, catch us up, man. What's going on in your year?
Yeah. Well, we discovered the FI community about 2.5 years ago and went all in. And in the last 2.5 years, starting basically from zero, our net worth is up about 250 and our savings and investment accounts are up about 150.
Oh my goodness. Wait, yeah. When was day zero?
About 2.5 years ago.
What? Oh my God. I'm sorry. How old are you? Just, one of those. Just so I get some 26. Context here.
Yep.
It's amazing. Why we should be coming on your show. I don't know.
Okay. So who found Five first, or was it kind of simultaneous?
I actually found it through the RV. Okay. So we found Steve Adcock's blog.
Yep.
They lived in an Airstream for a while.
Yeah.
So we found that crossover and then Mr. Money Mustache and then you guys.
Wow. So Joni, when Rob comes to you with this, like, were you guys already doing the RV or was this like, is this all wrapped up in the changes over the last 2 years?
We were already planning on doing the RV.
Okay. Yeah.
So everybody kind of gets that a little bit backwards. They assume that he wanted the RV and I was being dragged along kicking and screaming. I actually thought that the tiny house thing looked like a lot of fun and he was looking at the situation and what is something that he could get behind. Well, maybe not a tiny house, but a old Airstream. So compromises there. And it's been fun. That's good stuff.
It's been fun. I love that. So, it's interesting because I think on some level, and this would never happen in my life, obviously we have kids. Well, okay. Let me, that's a limit. That's a limiting belief.
I caught myself right away. Accountable for his limiting belief.
Did I catch myself right away or not?
He just said this, like, I hope everybody here messages them and just lets
clearly,
them know. Like,
clearly a limiting belief. But let's say there is a snowball chance in hell of me living in an RV or a tiny home in the next 5 years. So, okay, regardless. But it does appeal to me on some level. But tell me, like, what is it actually like? Like, what's the most surprisingly positive thing about it that you couldn't have foreseen?
Definitely decluttering and getting rid of all the stuff. So someone has a great quote. It might have been the Marie Kondo, but everything you own is a relationship you're in that requires maintenance.
Yeah.
And the less stuff you open, the more sort of mental bandwidth you can free up.
I like that I can clean my house in 5 minutes before people come over. That's real pro.
That'll work. And on the other side of the coin, is there something like just surprisingly, if not negative, just like something that surprised you that you wouldn't have anticipated?
I was surprised how easily we got used to living in like 200 square feet.
That is a little bit of a sense for.
Give us a little sense for what a day in the life of an RVer looks like for you guys. Like, are you docked at the house? You docked in an RV park? Like, what's the cadence of life for people that are like, this is a little bit of a lifestyle right now?
So right now we are docked at the house. That was the win I had emailed Brad about initially, was that I had just convinced my employer to let me go remote. So starting in January, we'll be taking off and living in our RV parks and state parks. But we both work from home. So it's mostly just wake up, grab the laptop and a cup of coffee, start answering emails, all the normal things just in an RV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk about, the beauty of location independence, right? It truly does not matter where you are. That's
exactly it. And, we'll be, I can do my job in Arizona or in Indiana. And right now the weather in Arizona is looking a lot nicer than Indiana. So,
I am a stuff person. I like stuff, but I tell you what is clarifying for me about the point that you just made, despite my blind spots, is when I am like stepping on my kids' Legos or like at the end of the day when they've just wreaked havoc on this extra, this kid's room or wherever that we have, like the playroom, there's just toys everywhere. And we're going into the Christmas season and we're thinking about getting them more toys because it's Christmas time, but like we can't even clean up the ones we have currently. And every day, part of our day is just like, it's come to the end of the day, you're tired and it's time to put up all the toys. And like dad gets put on toy cleanup duty and it's just exhausting. It's a daily part of my life. And we're like trying to encourage them to get involved. Anyways, it's probably just a metaphor for all my stuff as well. Yes. I'm looking at the kids, got not as attached to it.
Into your life here, Jonathan.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really pulling back the curtain here. But, you know, all of that, there was a very long-winded way, because I don't know the short-winded way, of saying I am increasingly identifying with the statement that you made at the beginning, Rob, where you're signing up for a relationship with all this stuff. And Brad, you're not innocent as well. I know that you have had this aspirational goal of getting a sauna and a hot tub. You're going to be maintaining those things, pool boy. That's what's coming.
Oh, I know. So. I know.
All right, real quick, Rob.
All right, back to Rob and Joni.
We'll have our therapy couch session later. Rob and Joni, you guys threw out some pretty redonkulous numbers there at the very beginning of this story. Tell us, is that just crushing the income? Is it crushing the expenses? Is it a combination of the two? Did you start with a net worth of zero at a particular age? Like, kind of walk us through your trajectory of when you found the FI community, where you were, and what financial choices that you made to get you to the point that you're at right now.
Yeah, so we actually started at exactly zero when we got married in 2016, right out of college, both got jobs. And then we just sort of did the quote unquote normal wise thing for a while, which is 10% into the 401k and then, you know, spending the rest, which didn't get us very far very fast, but we didn't have any debt. Now, you know, she worked a couple jobs in college and we both managed to graduate debt free. And then, yeah, found the FI community 2.5 years ago and we were still debt free. We had been saving up to buy the RV and we just started piling it into the 401ks. And actually, we did crush the income side in that. About 2 years ago, she switched careers out of teaching, which was kind of toxic for her, and into, you know, a corporate job that pretty much overnight doubled her income, which we were able to start saving all of that. And yeah, in my job, just incremental raises have been pretty good for me. I've come up quite a ways in the last 4 years at my job, too.
Last question. Well, Brad has one more. This will be my last question. Joni, talk about the pivot from, you said you were in a toxic job in one industry, pivoting into a corporate job in a totally different industry that doubled your salary. There's a lot of stuff there. There's, well, what was I trained to do? Am I qualified? Mm-hmm. Your own personal imposter syndrome. Can I even apply for this? And then getting a salary that's double what you were making before. Kind of talk us through what that bridge was for you. Because I think there's a lot of people that are thinking, I need to retrain into something else.
Yeah. So I was actually in adult English language education, and I was in a private language school program. And I love it. It wasn't toxic for any kind of classroom experience. My students were wonderful. It was just very low pay, very long hours. And on and off, I kind of struggled with my administration a little bit. I was a very young teacher teaching adults, and some of the guys in my classroom were excited about that. We'll let that stay. I moved into corporate because I found that you can do adult education in different ways. English language teaching was a lot of fun, but I work for a biomedical company now on a training team. So all of that fun, conflicts of interest, quality training, all of that first day at work stuff that has to be pushed out by someone. I work with subject matter experts to get their content to their learners. And it's been good.
How did you make that transition in your own mind? Or how did you map out, oh, I would be qualified if I could present my qualifications in this manner? It's not necessarily a one-to-one thing, right? Even the application doesn't look the same.
Those are really good questions. So maybe the best way of looking at it was I had learned a lot about education and how to teach. And in a classroom, it looks very different. And I love the technology piece of the classroom. I felt several websites for my students and had all these extremely fun projects, and we had a great time in that way. And in the corporate world, it's all technology driven. So looking at these applications and these skill sets, it's like, well, I think I can do that. I think I have some experience in putting together these types of curriculum, working with subject matter experts. Okay, I don't have to be an expert in engineering. I can work with the engineers and take their content and make it deliverable to an audience so that they can understand it. And then from there, I actually went into a contracting role, which was wonderful, I think, both for the company and me. the company needed someone temporarily, and I was kind of wanting to toe the water in that field. So that was incredible. And that contracting job was actually where the income increased by 50%.
Okay. So you've set me up perfectly, and I'll give this back to Brad. I know he has, you know, we'll leave the percentages alone for a second, but I know Brad has follow-up questions. But what I want to point out is it's so easy for us to get our identity wrapped up in our degree or in the actual job that we're doing. And what you did, your entire mindset is it's not my degree, it's my talent stack. And you, even if you weren't using that language, you thought that way. And when you looked at applications through what is in my talent stack lens. And that's what enabled you to make the drastic pivot that you made. Is that accurate?
Yeah, actually, I fell into that education trap so hard. I got a very specialized master's in teaching English. Great. You know, you're in this job, you're looking at what's my upward movement? Maybe administration, maybe not administration. Well, what skills have I learned from that? And where do I want to go if not staying in a classroom and if not administration? And there are so many skills that you gain through different types of programs and through different roles that you're in. And it's fun to see how you can plug into a new team and what problems you can solve with and for them.
That is really cool. So just kind of getting back to the numbers for a second. So you guys have already amassed this incredible, incredible number. And, you know, your expenses are probably pretty darn low. So Rob, I suspect you've got the spreadsheets. When what are we looking at for FIDATE? Is this something, Joni? That
Joni
was
just
a,
starts laughing.
A pretty
safe. Like, oh, don't even get him started. If I have look at that spreadsheet one more time.
I've known Rob for 10 minutes, and I can imagine the voluminous amount of spreadsheets.
I make spreadsheets for a living, Brad. I'm sure you understand.
I do indeed. Kindred spirits, my friend. Kindred spirits. So yeah. Talk me through what's the plan going forward.
I guess our base expenses in the RV. It's paid off full and clear. And then we went ahead and bought and financed just some bare land, quote unquote, is what the bank will call it. It does have a really nice, you know, workshop, a very large barn that you can see the walls of that I used to work on the RV. And that's a mortgage of about $800 a month for far more land than we need and for a 15-year mortgage. So at some point, hopefully maybe we can sell off half of the land and cut that in half further. And then other than that, the expenses are pretty typical household expenses. The internet's a weird one. Instead of normal internet, I just have like 3 SIM cards for phone companies. And that's when stationary. Oh, when on the road, we haven't collected that data yet. But from everything I've seen, talking to and looking at other, you know, full-time RVers, you can spend as much as you want. The base tends to be around $2,000 a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Between your RV parks. And I think that generally includes your groceries and stuff like that. You know, for reference, you know, a general state park is usually in the range of 30-ish bucks a night. So.
Gotcha.
That's awesome.
Sorry. I'm laughing at Diana's comment here.
Brad.
Let me tell you the thing about Brad's spreadsheets. Let me just have a little fun at Brad's expense.
Diana's comment is about Rob.
I guarantee you, Rob's spreadsheets are for public consumption and use. Like, they make sense to individuals. Brad's are like a beautiful number spreadsheets. No matter how hard he tries to simplify it down for other people, there's not another human on the planet that could interpret one of Brad's spreadsheets. He says, trust me, it works. I do trust you. I don't know how to read it, but I do trust you.
Don't ever show it to me again, ever in your entire life.
Never send this my way. I will never promise to our community that you're going to deliver a spreadsheet again, because I just feel bad for the person that has to interpret it.
It depends. I understand. It takes a long time to make a nice spreadsheet. I sat down to show her one about savings, and I had to spend probably 15 minutes explaining to her. But
yeah.
Look, Allison says Karsten Big Earn could bring Brad's spreadsheet. No, he couldn't. Big Earn sent it back and said, this doesn't make sense. I don't know what's going on here. He said, please don't send this back to
me. Not true.
All right. Rob and Joni, thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
Thanks.
Really appreciate you being here. Have a good one.
All right, everyone. All right. Thank you so much for joining us for our end of the year wins. This will probably be available on the live channel. We hope to maybe do a couple of these throughout the year, but certainly regardless of how many of these we do, we will be doing our end of the year wins each and every year going forward. And so if you saw this and you said, I need to be a part of that, I want to do it, I hope that you will just make this something each and every year you look forward to, you show up, you participate in. We just like to capture just a segment of what this community is doing, because it's so amazing. It's so unbelievable when it builds. I mean, imagine where these individuals, all the ones who are on the show, imagine where they will be next year, the following year, the year after. It's incredible the options that it affords you. And new people are finding this all the time and they're getting started. And so if maybe you were referred to this video just for encouragement or from a friend or family member that's a part of this community, I would encourage you, get started. Best time to start, 20 or 30 years ago or whenever. Second best time right now, today. We've put all of our resources for you in one place. And make it super simple. We actually have a free 5-day challenge as well to kind of help you get started on your own path to financial independence. For more information on that, or to join our newsletter, just go to choosefi.com/start. There's a place there you can get on our newsletter. And then if you're interested in taking our free, completely free 5-day challenge, just scroll down on the page for more information on that. And Brad, any final thoughts before I wrap up?
Nothing major other than this was a lot of fun. Man, the inspiration to hear from the community, it's just, this was really special. I mean, we've done the year-end wins episode for a couple of times now, but man, nothing tops this. So the first of many, I suspect, for these live events. So thank you all for being here. And thanks to everybody who took the time out of their night to watch and to join the show. So yeah, huge thanks.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Now I'm excited to announce that on the next episode coming up, this upcoming Monday, we are going to be having JL Collins back on the show. And we are going to be revisiting the stock series. For many of you, this will be an introduction. For many of you, this will be a gateway to information that will change your life. And for many of you that have maybe listened to episode 19 of our podcast, which is an excellent primer, maybe those of you that have read The Simple Path to Wealth by JL Collins, a fantastic book. Maybe there's some of you that are saying, I know it worked then, but what about now? Which is something that we all have, right? I know it worked then, but what about now? And I think it's going to be really cool to be able to revisit these concepts and get JL's perspective on how the content that's been so life-changing for so many of us, how that translates into 2021, into the situation. Does the market really always go up? Does it always go up? What does that mean? And if we can't time the market, what is the best strategy for us going forward? Is there nuance here? What's the nuance? These are the sorts of things that we're really going to get a chance to ask him. And what's cool about it is back in episode 19, I'm sorry, very long close. You'll probably hear a lot of this as we start up next week, but these are on my mind. These are things that I'm going to be asking him. When we interviewed him back in episode 19, it really was just laying out The Simple Path to Wealth as written. And now, since we've interviewed him, we've also interviewed Paul Merriman. We've talked with Todd Tressiter. We've talked with Big Earn. There's been a lot of extra depth added to these conversations. And I think not all of us agree on what the path, we don't need to. There's plenty of room for nuance in this world. But maybe we can take a few of those ideas and just get JL's perspective on it and see, what he thinks about maybe, some of the nuance that actually is embedded in this. So I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation. I hope you'll tune into it. And you know where to find us, while you're listening to us. You got it locked in, but maybe share it with a friend. All right, guys, the fire is spreading. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth one life hack at a time.